Just as a reminder, we are still in that spirit of trying to have contrition for our sins, trying to discover, to see the error of our ways in our life, in the past, and even sometimes until now. We could say, for all of us, we're sinners, so sometimes, yes, definitely, and up until now. Today, we're discovering, we're trying to think about the decision that we need to make. And in order to make a good decision, we all know, as a man, you need to be well-informed. If you're not well-informed, you'll cause disaster. If I come to you and I say to you, buy that house, and you say, well, let me go see it, let me check out the papers, I want to see the foundation. No, just, there it is, just buy it. You'll say, that's insane, of course not. Sign this paper, you know, this health insurance. You're going to have to pay so much a month. Well, let me see the details. Here are the details. Just sign it over here. Here. You'd say, no, you're insane. If I don't have the information, I'll make a bad decision. You wouldn't do that with anything in the world. You wouldn't make any decision uninformed in the world. Or if your information was blurry, you wouldn't make that decision. You wouldn't see a girl past one of those blurred screens, windows, and choose to marry her. You will want to see her at least. Why do we do this only with the decisions that pertain our eternal life? Why is it that I'm able, willing, to live all my life with my blurred eyes and not clear them so I can decide, should I step away from this temptation? Should I step away from this friendship? Should I marry this person? Should I become a priest? Why? This is the only decision that you allow yourself to make uninformed. You might say, well, Father, I know my catechism. Well, here's the point. When we are in the world, we are constantly deceived and blinded. Imagine the world, if you will, as I'm sure most of you have driven through a blizzard. That was a new experience for me coming from Mexico. You drive through the blizzard and the snowflakes are just coming to the windshield constantly. Some of them are pretty bad and they just blind you. Even the effect of the movement blinds you. And you need to have constantly the wipers, otherwise you would crash. That is what happens in the world. You're driving through your life. There's cliffs around you. You don't know where. And the world is constantly throwing at you Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, taxes, work, company problems, news, elections, so many things coming your way, and you miss the focus. Where am I going in the long run? That's where this retreat, this time away from the world, is like a big windshield wiper that allows you to see things clearly. What do we need to know then? What is the information that we need to know? The Bible tells us how to make good decisions. It's right there. In all thy works, it says, have thou mind on your last things, and thou shalt not do sin. That is God telling us, in all your decisions, think of your last things. We all know the last things, we've heard them before. Death, judgment, hell, heaven. We don't have time to consider right now heaven. We will consider that at the end of the retreat. But right now we do have to focus on the truths that are most pressing and that we need to remember. Death and hell. Here is perhaps the most important truth that we gloss over constantly in our lives. The thing I never believe until I'm faced with it. And I need to remember it now. I need to impress it in my mind. I am going to die. Not far in the distance. I think it's too far away. I can live my life right now. I have time. No. Soon. I might die tonight. I might die 7 days from now, 10 years, 20. No matter the distance, you could say no matter how many years, Trust me, when death comes, it will seem as if it was soon, because it was. I will come to that point and I will say to myself, everything is gone. I have no more opportunity. That time that I thought was too much, 40 years, 30, 39, it went like that. And now I have nothing. I'm incomplete, and I have no time to complete the job. Of all the other things that I say in this retreat, some of them might not apply to you. I might speak of hell, maybe you won't go to hell. I might speak of heaven, maybe I won't go to heaven. One thing I can tell you that applies to everyone. Maybe you're an atheist, and you don't believe in heaven or hell. This one truth, no one denies that I will die. And I can promise you, I would swear it, but it wouldn't be good, but I can promise you this. I could grab one of you, take you by the shirt and talk to you in your face and tell you, I promise you, I assure you, have no doubt, you're going to die. Everything that you have, without exception, everything, you're going to lose. Everything that you own. Your house that you've been working on so hard, that you've paid for years. You're so happy, now I have the title. Now I don't have to pay monthly dues. You're going to lose that, I promise you. My car, great car. I was just worried I crashed it yesterday. I got some guy pay my car. You know, now I'm happy I fixed it. You're going to lose your car. All the money that you have in the bank, everything, one penny, all of it, you're going to lose it. This is a fact. Your job. I've worked so hard to get into this position. I assure you, you're going to lose your job. Your wife and your children. I love them so much. We've had such a good marriage. You're going to lose them all. It's a fact. You might not even be able to do anything for them after you die. The only way in which you will be able to help your family after you die will be if you save your soul. Otherwise, you will lose everything and there will be nothing left for you. In the world, the best case scenario, when I die, the best case scenario, my wife loves me, my children love me. If that is so, once you die, because they love you, they will have to make a conscious effort to forget you. I love my husband so much, every time that I see his picture, it hurts me. I have it in my house, but I'm not going to look at him, because every time that I look at it, it hurts. The children love me so much, but once I die, they will not think of me anymore, because every time that they think of me, they will stop laughing. The parties will end. The conversation will stop. And so they will prefer not to mention my name. Even that. Worst case scenario. They don't like me. And as soon as I die, I will become a hindrance. Imagine for a moment that you were able, to stand there and see what happens, as they say in the Christmas tale, Christmas Carol. That you were able to see what happens when you die. And you see how your sheet, they take it away. It's all filthy. Now they throw it to the trash. All your IDs, your cards, your papers from your work, your blueprints, everything that you had, throw it in a box, throw it away. My books, my movies, everything goes to the trash. You are a hindrance now, a problem, trash. That is not all. I need to remember, and again, think for myself. I need to remember that I will lose myself too. At least I will lose the part that I focus the most on. I feel my eyes, and I know that within a few hours, days, months, this will be rotting in my skull. I look at my arms that I've worked so hard with. I'm so proud of what I can do. These will become fibers, grayed out fibers, dried out. I look at my legs, and I can see it right now in my legs, the worms, the vermin, all those insects eating throughout within, devouring my flesh, and the stench of a dead animal. That's what I will be. Not far away, soon. Not too long in the future, soon. Sooner than I think, one thing I know for sure, I'm going to die. There was a story that I could tell here. This was when I was in the monastery, and I was summoned to help this, well, I wasn't a priest, I was just a monk, but I was the only driver, so they took me to drive a priest to the civil hospital, kind of like a VA hospital, and there was this room about this big as a church, very poor place. They just put all the beds together, and I mean, there's no separation, nothing, just have the person, the bed, and everybody's there. And someone called us, their relative was dying in there, and they had no assistance. So we went there to give him the last rites. And this was very impressive to me, I'll never forget it, because we went there, found the bed, someone told us, it's that guy over there, went to the guy. The guy's just staring at the ceiling. You can see his skin, he's all, you know, skinny, his lungs are coming back and forth, his eyes are sunking already into his skull, lips are purple, the guy is dying. And the priest comes and tells him, here I am, my son, you know, I'm going to give you the last sacraments, I'm just going to give you a confession, I'm going to give you extreme unction. He couldn't speak anymore. What really shocked me about this was that he didn't know he was dying. He was dying, definitely, but he thought he was sick. And he only realized he was dying when the priest started, when he raised his hand and he looked at the priest and the terror in his eyes, in his face, never stepped away from me because I was standing on the other side helping the priest and this guy just started looking up and terrified. Only then he realized he was dying. He was going to die in 20 minutes. He died in 20 minutes after that. How terrible, I think, to only have 20 minutes to prepare. And that happens to all of us. I need to think to myself, this could happen to me. I could commit a mortal sin and then be driving back home, and then I will die, and I will not be prepared. It could happen to me that I live 70 years more, but I drop out of my faith. I stop coming to Mass. I become tepid. And 70 years from now, when I die, I might be like that guy. They might put me to sleep. I might have a heart attack, cancer, something. I go to the hospital. They give me drugs. And I never get to prepare. So right now, I need to think. My decision making needs to be based on this fact, that I know for sure I will die. We need to speak of a few more things, and I think I'm going to be a little bit longer than I expected, but death would not be so terrible if it was just death as the atheists think. If I was just an animal or a plant, and I just died and disappeared, that would be still terrible, but not as bad. What makes death all the more significant is that death is the ceiling of who I am. It's like a picture when you have a camera. You know, the movement, things are happening, but then the picture is taken, and that's not going to move. Back in the day, you remember those plates that you would use. That's what happens with my soul. When I die, whether if I was being good or bad, if I was in the friendship with God, or a slave of the devil, at that moment, the picture is taken. Nothing I say will change it. I am like a missile, like a bullet, that is being shot somewhere. And the bullet is going, and there is two targets, heaven or hell. And every action that I take at every moment, I'm heading in one direction or the other. Where am I going? You wish, yes, you wish that your actions were unimportant, that no one was keeping track of them. And a lot of times, you know, you go to your farm, to your house, to your work, to your office, and you think, I'm just a regular guy, just trying to live my life, eat, go to sleep, do my stuff, do my chores. No one's keeping track of me. No, I need to remember someone is keeping track on all my actions, my thoughts, my words, my deeds, my omissions. Who? My brother? No. My wife? Most of the time. But no, not her. The government? Doesn't matter. Who's keeping track of my actions? Who writes them down, all of them? The Most Holy Trinity keeps track on all my actions. Every thought that I have, every bite that I take, every word that I say, my prayer that I do distractedly, or my prayer that I do well, my communion, my sin, my time wasted, my neglect of my duties, all of it is written, and it will come to me. When? When the picture's taken. And at that moment, God will judge me. You all know, you've all considered that your time is limited. You know that. I'm sure you've heard it before. Think of something that we often don't meditate. Your actions are also limited. You only have so many. You are like a thing of clay that is solidifying, and there is a point where there is no more correction. Your actions are like coins. Every action that you take, that's an action that cannot be taken back. If I went and seated in my bed and I looked at whatever Instagram or whatever, you know, social media, that's an action that I spent. I'm never taking it back. That's done. This girl that I dated and I went out on a date today, good or bad, it's an action I spent. I'm never taking it back. The question that I need to ask myself is this: will I have enough to correct my way if I need to? I'm a bullet going to that direction, to the direction of hell. If I say I want to go to heaven, do I still have stamina? Do I still have time? Do I still have the power to go back? Or have I gone too far? It could be. And I fear the judgment of God after this life. I should also fear the judgment of God now, that it could be that I've abused God's grace, God's callings, God's inspirations so much that I'm far past the point of correction. And that is important also to consider regarding our judgment. There's one other truth that we need to consider. I must say, I'm not shouting to you, I'm shouting to myself. Remember, this is a retreat preached to me mainly. We need to consider hell. I need to think of hell. And here, it is necessary that I make an effort with my faith, because I will confess, when I think of hell, oftentimes, it seems like part of it is placed on fantasy. I think of hell, and the idea that I get is this medieval depiction that you see in the medieval books of a cave with fire and little devils with horns dressed in red poking at people. And I need to brush that aside and have a theological idea of hell, of a reality, because this is a reality. I fear crime. Crime is a reality, and I act accordingly. I fear war. War is a reality, it happens, and I act accordingly. I should fear hell in the same level. It is a reality, and I should act accordingly. What is hell? Let us consider it just logically. Who is the source of all goodness in your life? Every pleasure that you have, your very life, the harmony in your bones and in your organism. Who is the source of light, of beauty, of everything good? God. Out of God, there is nothing good. He is the source of everything that is good. What is hell? Hell is the place that I go to when I say I choose not God, but the opposite. If God is the source of all good, the opposite must be pure all evil. If God is the source of all life, the opposite must be pure death. If God is the source of all harmony and peace, the opposite must be chaos and sorrow. That's hell, my own choice, eternally instated. I have chosen death, sorrow, chaos, evil, lack of harmony. Let us then imagine, if we want to keep to the timing, let us go back to that part of judgment. Let us imagine what happens to a soul. And here, again, it's not a fantasy. Right now, at this moment, as I speak, people here are going to hell somewhere. Somewhere in Spokane, perhaps. Somewhere in Idaho, in Washington, in the United States. How many? Hundreds, thousands? I don't know. But this is not an illusion. It is not something that the priest is telling you to imagine. I'm not trying to cast an impression on yourselves. I'm trying to remember a reality that I know God has revealed to me. And I know that at this moment, somewhere, would that it wasn't so, we can suspect that somewhere people are going to hell right now. How does that look like? A person dies, a young boy perhaps, that was in school yesterday, that was talking to his mom. He's dying. He was in the state of sin. He never repented. Or an old man that fell miserably in a moment of carelessness. He never repented. At that moment, he comes to that judgment of God. Don't imagine the big gates and a human person talking to you with devils and angels. It is the spiritual essence of God. Your spiritual essence are met, and your judgment happens in the blink of an eye, and you see your sins in the ways that God sees them. Here on this earth, I'm not too sorry for my sins because I see them with my own eyes. But then at judgment, I will see sin, my sins, not as I saw them, but as God saw them. And you know what that's like? Imagine that you made a mother watch the murder of her son. That's an image of what God sees when he sees sin. Imagine that you saw a friend being defamed and betrayed by another friend, and that this friend saw that friend doing that. That's what God sees when you sin. Imagine that you saw a father. Imagine, rather, that the father sees his own son kicking him out of his own house, casting him away, making fun of him, rejecting everything that he did for him, all the years, all the money spent, the schooling, everything, mocking his father. That's what God sees when he sees my sins. That is how I will see my sins when I'm judged. It will be abominable to me. I will not stand the sight. I would throw myself to hell if I could. So irresistible, so damning it would be. And so, the judgment takes place. Immediately I realize I am opposed to God. And then I am sucked into the abyss, to distances that I cannot see, in ways that I cannot understand. I am suddenly sucked into the punishment. And I feel above myself all of the weight of God's justice, like an iron dome. This is the anger of the Almighty weighing all on me, because I chose to go against him. And don't picture hell like Dante imagines it, where you go and walk somewhere and you're talking to people and you're saying, oh, how did you come here? Well, I come this way. Well, what did you do? I did that. There is no freedom in hell. You're sucked into the corner, into some place in a cave, and if you had a body, your knees would crush against each other and your arms would sink into your column, and your ribs would crash against each other. Your bones would break. So tight and helpless and without freedom would you be. One arm, one finger, you would not be able to move because you didn't use your freedom well. Now you have none. And as soon, and this is happening right now, remember, as soon as that happens, the torture that you signed up for comes within you. The fire of death that you chose, the fire of chaos that you chose, the fire of the lack of the benevolent providence of God that you chose, the fire of hell. Every cell in your body, your nails, your hands, your feet, is filled with chaos, misery, destruction, and pain. In the back of your eyes, inside your brain, within your lungs, you breathe fire. This is not like the fire of earth that burns in the surface, in my skin. This is fire that burns in my existence. In my existing, it burns. In the marrow of my bones, in my thoughts, in my soul. Father, you're going way too far. You're exaggerating. No, this is not my imagination. I'm falling short. It's happening right now. I cannot see it, thankfully. But my faith tells me it's happening right now. That's not all. What did I do when I sinned? When I sinned, I went to Satan or to Mammon or whatever demon I went to, and I said to him, I am your slave. I put myself under your power. I chose that freely, and when I die, that becomes a reality. And the devils are cruel. They're not like human beings. We, when we see someone down, I said this to the boys yesterday, when I see someone down, bleeding on the ground, if I fought him, I said, he's done. Move out. The devils are the opposite. The lower than you are, the more vulnerable. The more beaten down, the more cruel they become. In hell, I will be at the total mercy of these wicked spirits that have immense power. And that means, and we never consider this, that means that these terrible people, persons, they will fill my mind with terror for all eternity with no one hindering them. Here, God stops them. In hell, I have put myself under them. God will not stop them. Not as much. The demons will be able to come into my soul and fill it with anguish, with fear, with despair, with depression. Have you ever had an experience here on this earth where you feel terrible, miserable? You cannot bear the weight of the day because of so many bad things that have happened to you. Imagine that for all eternity, with cruel spirits that have nothing against them to stop them, and they can do anything they want for you, with you. You are at their mercy. Is this a terrible reality? Yes. Am I going too far? No. I would want you, when you leave this building, to keep these memories in your mind. Do you really know that you're going to die? Do you really know that hell exists? I can ask myself. I don't think so. If you knew that you were going to die, or if you know that hell exists, I'll have to say, if you tell me that, speaking to myself, if you tell me that, I'll have to say two things. You are either insane or you're lying to me. Because You're either lying to me that you know that hell and death are coming, or if you know that death exists and that you're about to die at some point, and if you know that hell exists and you continue to act in the way you do, then you are insane. Do you know that hell exists? Do you know that death is coming? When you go out of these doors, when you go out of this retreat, when you go back home, I would hope that these truths are engraved in front of your eyes and that they are all at all times present, so that you really know that you're about to die and you really know that hell exists in such a way that when your wife comes and says to you, or your son comes and says to you, "Dad, we have this project in the company. We're going to go build this and that. We can put this in our accounts. You know, let's try to invest here and there." And you think to yourself, what is the most important thing? I know that I will die. Is this really relevant? When your wife comes and says, no offense to the wives, when she comes and says, I found this property, really beautiful property, so many acres, you know, the house is much better, we can downsize or we can upgrade, and it's just great. It's 4 hours away from the church. That your thought is, I know that I'm going to die. Is this really worth it? Do I really want to be 4 hours away from the church? That is uncertain. Death, I know, I have it coming. What should I decide? That the next time that you sit down in your couch after work, you're tired, pull up your phone, and you start swiping away, that each swipe reminds you, I know that I'm going to die. I know that hell exists. This is not worth it. Would, and we pray to the Holy Ghost, that that is the result of these meditations. Let me end with a few final considerations. Imagine that there was only one person in hell, and that this person is already there. And imagine that this hill is in a block of stone somewhere here in Spokane. There is some place in the city where there is a big block of stone, and you know that within that block of stone there is a person, a woman, a man, burning forever, tortured in all its faculties, tortured by devils, filled with fear, filled with terror, filled with anguish. And you know that this person will be there burning forever for all eternity. Nothing can remedy this person. And you always see just the block of stone. I ask you, who would build anything next to it? Would you want to walk by that place? If you were to look at it, you would be talking to your friends. Then you look at a distance and you see the block of stone and you would feel horrible. To think that there is a person in there suffering such horrors. And the laughter would stop. And you wouldn't talk anymore. Because just the sight of it would fill you with shame and misery and pity. It's not one block of stone. It's right below your feet. It's not one. There are millions. And it's true. Is this a terrible reality? Yes, it's true. I must not hide that from my mind. I must remember it and act accordingly. So there it is. The snowflakes removed. There is my reality. Now what decision should I make? Two things I know for sure. Several. But right now, you know for sure, and I promise you again, I promise it to you, that you will die. And the other thing that you know for sure is that you will be judged. And according to your actions, you will go any of us, to hell or heaven. Nothing exempts you. There is no reason why I wouldn't go to hell. Me, right now, speaking to you, why would I be exempt? Because I am Father Carlos Cepeda, because that's my name? No, there are other guys with their names. Does it exempt me that it's my life that we're talking about? No, you are not exempt. You are not. Why? What makes you important? What makes you different? Why wouldn't you go to hell? Am I traditional Catholic? Many are there. Priest? Many priests in hell. Married men? Also. There is nothing that exempts you from hell. I also have that risk. Considering these things, then, we pray to our Blessed Mother, to our Lord, and to the Holy Ghost, that they give us the strength, the wisdom, to make the decisions that we need to make based on reality, the realities that we have meditated today. We will say a prayer, and then we will begin with our time of meditation.